You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. You are listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
I'm Brian Noonan. We are going to get into the headlines in a second. I need to address this call that we got during the break from Rick in Evansville saying, stop calling him Pistol Pete. It's an insult to Pete Maravich. His name is Whiskey Pete. I like that, Rick. We're going to change it. Whiskey Pete. Glug, glug. That's how it's going to be for now. Whiskey Pete.
Wow.
Glug, glug. Or
okay.
We'll figure out. I'll figure out. I don't have to.
I wasn't looking at you when you did that. That was like actually really convincing.
Yeah, I'm like Michael Winslow. Oh man, I'm
that
quite
was
talented.
Impressive. That kind of got me.
Parker's face was the best.
It's like, wait a minute.
That's right. I used to do cartoons. Only adult cartoons where they were pouring beverages. Call Duda in. He's got it. All right, so it's Whiskey Pete. I'll try. Rick, that was a good call. We don't want to. Pete Maravich is the original Pistol Pete, so we don't want to. We don't want to tarnish his name. Tonight, the president is going to address the nation, Jamie, and I'm sure that within another week, we won't have to do headlines from around because the war is over. And I'm just going to anticipate this because we got it in the head. We'll talk about it more. But as I think about it, he's just now he's bored with it. Mm-hmm. And so he's just because I think, according to Caroline Leavitt, we don't need a reason to call it off anymore. I think tonight he's going to go, we're done. We obliterated them. Even though Iran is going, no, you didn't. We're still blowing things up.
Turns out there's still some things happening over in the Middle East. And now you've created a little chaos that at some point is going to have to be cleaned up. So I'm not sure who he would think is going to do that. But again, digression, we'll get there.
Yes. So anyway, let's focus on some headlines out of the Middle East. Iran hit an oil tanker off the coast of Qatar and Kuwait's airport on Wednesday, while airstrikes battered Tehran, an unrelenting tempo hours after Donald Trump said he was ready to wind down the war. He really believes that his word carries so much weight in the world that he is the voice of God. I wish some would. Now, granted, his pillowcases do always look like the Shroud of Turin. Every day he wakes up, there's just a big orange likeness of his big dome visage on there. But he is not God. He doesn't get to just make a pronouncement and the whole world has to kowtow to it.
No. And that's not exactly how war works. Turns out that when you start a conflict and you start a war, you don't get to just wave your magic wand to start it and end it. There's a few things and negotiations and pieces that need to fall into place. But far be it from us to actually have that sort of logic in these arguments.
It's just, if like you start a fight with your spouse, you don't get to go, okay, fight's over.
I'm done.
They go, wait, no. It's not over.
No.
You started it. We're going to finish it.
Exactly. In other headlines, Houthi rebels in Yemen said they launched ballistic missiles at southern Israel in a joint operation with Iran and Hezbollah as the U.S. and Israel continue to bombard Tehran. Elsewhere, a child was seriously wounded after Iranian missile fragments hit central Israel.
And the president suggested in an interview with a British newspaper that the U.S. is considering leaving NATO over what he cast as its lackluster military support for the war, describing the defensive alliance as a paper tiger.
And in case
you did this by yourself.
Yes, that's what we have to keep pointing out. And if you thought that the gas prices were going to come down anytime soon, no, probably not, because oil prices did fall and stocks rose today following the president's comments. However, prospects for a quick reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, or ordinarily, as we've talked, a conduit for a fifth of global oil supply, are unclear.
Again, just because you say it, don't make it true. Mm-hmm. And this is proof. U.S. gas prices jumped past an average of $4 a gallon for the first time since 2022 yesterday. As the Iran war continues to push fuel prices higher worldwide, analysts say those high fuel costs will trickle into groceries as businesses' transportation and packaging costs pile up. So,
will trickle? It's already trickling.
Yes.
It's already trickling.
If you've tried to buy anything, you know it's trickling.
It is really expensive right now. I had to get groceries the other day. I've been planning out the Easter menu so we can have just a low-key family meal at home. And I was like, wow, what exactly are we going to have? Because this is getting very pricey. And I'm not doing anything extravagant. I'm just buying some good foods, some basic stuff that we like. And it is probably at least $30, $40 more than if I would have purchased it 6 months ago even. It's crazy.
That's why you need to become a prepper so you have all your food in a shed for when... when he starts
the astronauts
next war.
have it right. They have all that dehydrated food, right? That they can just keep stored somewhere.
Then Easter would be fun. You just sit across the table squirting foods into everybody's mouths like birds.
And they blow up on your plate. That's what I envision.
Well, the whole thing is just blowing up. Everything's blowing up. That's why, Parker, we like to give people a little stuff they need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
All right. Well, Senator Tammy Baldwin is in the news now. She's calling on the U.S. Defense Health Agency to look into reports that soldiers injured in the Iran war, including some from Wisconsin, are not receiving adequate and timely care after returning from the Middle East. She sent a letter Tuesday to Vice Admiral Darren Villa and shared it with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in which Baldwin recounted what she's heard from Wisconsin service members in the 103rd Sustainment Command of the Army Reserve, who were injured in a March 1st drone attack on their facility in Kuwait. The attack killed 6 service members and seriously injured dozens more. Some of them suffered traumatic brain injuries, which is one of the leading injuries when these servicemen and women are coming back. According to the letter, many injured soldiers could not be evacuated for several days due to ongoing fighting. They've been at Fort Hood now, where they face delays in receiving proper care. The senator said, quote, "I've heard directly from constituents serving in our military who were injured in the war and are now experiencing delays and gaps in medical care at Fort Hood. At least 2 service members from Wisconsin have been affected by the delay in care," according to Baldwin's office. Brain injuries related to blast exposures from improvised explosive devices have been called, quote, "the signature injury of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan." According to the Journal of Military and Veterans Health, an estimated 20% of combat injuries from Iraq and Afghanistan were brain injuries. Where's Whiskey Pete to get these war fighters, as he likes to call them, the medical attention that they so rightfully deserved? If you're willing to send them and you're willing to put them in harm's way for your own little boy, look at us play toy soldier fantasies, then you owe them timely and sustained medical care. And that's good for Senator Baldwin.
I mean, this one's pretty simple, right? It's just wrong. This should never happen.
It should be, right?
And let's be real. This isn't happening in a vacuum. I hate to always point it out, but Donald Trump has a track record when it comes to service members and veterans and his treatment of them and words that he has said about them. So I think with that context, this is just another piece to that, right? Because this administration obviously doesn't really care about what happens to our service members or our veterans, and this is just an example of that. We've got Lynn chiming in over on the text line this morning. We were talking a little bit about the president earlier going through those Iran headlines. She says, "Yet his word moves the stock market like God." She's not wrong, because anytime he says things look better, then the stock market goes up. If he says that we're ending the war, the stock market goes up.
But
this is a heck of a time.
Yes, it does. In there, but though. That's gambling. That's prop bets. That's not reality. You know, for people who are not heavily involved or even slightly involved in the stock market, that doesn't mean anything. What means something is when you go to Quick Trip and you try to get gas and a gallon of milk. That's where people are. That's where it really means something.
Absolutely.
So, the problem is he believes what Lynn just rightfully said, and he believes that I can just say this and look it, and people will hear the Dow or the stock market, and they'll go, "Oh, he's doing such a great job." Well, we have some news later that will tell you that is not the case.
In other headlines, for stuff you need to know, an American journalist was kidnapped yesterday in Baghdad, and Iraqi security forces are pursuing her captors, according to Iraqi officials. The journalist was identified as freelancer Shelley Kittleson by one of the outlets she worked for. Now, she's 49 years old, and she actually has Wisconsin ties. She is from Monticello, Wisconsin. The Iraqi Interior Ministry said in a statement that a foreign journalist had been kidnapped without giving many more details, really, than that about her identity. Two Iraqi security officials who spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly about the case said that the kidnapped journalist was a woman and with U.S. citizenship. They also said that two cars were involved in this kidnapping, one of which crashed and was apprehended while being pursued by authorities near the town of Al-Hazwa in Babil. That's a province southwest of Baghdad. And this journalist was transferred to a second car that fled the scene. Now, the Interior Ministry said that the security forces had launched this operation to track down the kidnappers, quote, acting on precise intelligence and through intensive field operations after intercepting a vehicle belonging to the kidnappers that overturned as they tried to flee. One suspect was arrested. That might be too soon yet. And one of those vehicles used in the kidnapping was seized, but others remain on the loose. Now, Kittleson's mother, whose name is Barbara, said that she had that Shelley had messaged and sent her photos on Monday night. And at the time, Kittleson was actually safe. I mean,
all right. Well,
this is one of those stories that's hard to hear. And unfortunately, in a time of war, this isn't going to be the last time we're going to hear about this. My question is, will the administration care? Because we know how much they love journalists.
Oh, they love journalists. She probably had the audacity to report that things are not going well over there. That people are dying and things are getting blown up, and it doesn't seem like Iran is backing down. Remember, Jamie, it seems like forever ago, it may have been, I may have been in a coma for a while, but the president, this can't be right. The president tore down part of the White House. Is that right?
Yes.
He was going to build a ballroom. And then it came out the other day, he was going to build a huge security bunker under the ballroom.
Yes.
So the elites, after they're done dancing and gouging themselves and doing ungodly things, could go down to the bunker when the world ends. Well, a U.S. judge yesterday said that the president cannot construct his planned $400 million ballroom on the site of the White House demolished East Wing without approval from Congress. So that halts the president's most visible efforts to reshape the seat of American power. I don't know, the gaudy gold stuff that he put up everywhere and the West Wing sign outside. But all right.
At least that could be taken down eventually.
Not fast enough. District Judge Richard Leon granted a request for a preliminary injunction by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, which is a nonprofit that brought the lawsuit alleging Trump exceeded his authority when he raised the historic East Wing and launched construction of the new building. Now, that Leon was an appointee of Republican former President George Bush. So that keeps everything on hold for this ballroom. The judge, where does it leave us? I don't know. Unfortunately for Democrats, unless and until Congress blesses this project through statutory authorization, construction has to stop. That was part of Leon's order referring to the administration. Trump, you can imagine, he loved it. He went crazy on Truth Social, called the National Trust a group of left-wing lunatics, and said his ballroom is under budget, ahead of schedule, being built at no cost to the taxpayer, and will be the finest building of its kind anywhere in the world.
My favorite part of this is he had just showed these renderings of what it was going to look like, and then about 2 hours later, this came down.
Right.
And by the way, if you're a left-wing lunatic, it simply means you don't agree with the president. Just saying.
Count me in. Swiper Stay coming up next.
It's 7:19 right now on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. It is time for Swiper Stay. This is where we don't talk about politics for a whole 7 minutes. And we talk about other things that are happening in the news, mostly around pop culture. And our senior producer, Frank, joins us this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm a bit cold, but other than that, I'm good.
Have you not got the temperature regulated in the house yet?
It's
okay. New house.
You're in the basement.
This is true.
So you might have to get
yourself a little heater.
I'll send you a picture of the little heater I have for up here in my attic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
never thought I'd say I need a heater because I'm always the hot, sweaty, fat guy. So it's actually a good change of pace. I'll take it.
All right.
We have Swiper Stay coming up. I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie are going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next one. Are we ready?
Yes.
Of course, yes.
Oh, and real quick, Parker does get to be the tiebreaker. Okay. There's a tie.
All right.
I'll still let him have that.
Thank you.
Christy Noem's husband. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, April Fools.
There we go.
Come on. I want to go full of fake booby boobies.
But real quick, why is one lopsided?
Stay.
That's all I'm asking.
He's cockeyed.
If you don't know what we're talking about, feel free to go look it up on your own time.
And it's true.
I can't believe it's real.
It's a true story. It is a true story.
It is.
All right. We have...
Wow.
Nice rack, Mr. Noem.
Hollywood vampires are in trouble.
Wow.
Hollywood vampires are in trouble. That is your headline.
I have to stay because if I swiped on this one, I would not respect myself in the morning.
I like a good vampire story. Sure, we'll stay.
There'd be a riot if you didn't stay.
Okay.
So that's just, it's not just a derogatory term for all the suits that run Hollywood. We're actually talking about Johnny Depp's band. The Hollywood Vampires.
Okay.
See what I did there?
I like it. Nicely done.
So if you remember, Johnny Depp put together a band featuring Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry and Alice Cooper, and now they're getting sued over a 2023 concert that did not happen.
Oh.
So this concert promoter in Slovakia claims that they were paid $277,000 up front to perform and never returned the money after the cancellation. The concert was canceled because some medical issues with Johnny Depp. That date was never made up. I think they just went on their merry way, returned home. But now they're getting sued for it. Hollywood vampires are trying to counteract, saying it's very intricate. You got to go look it up. Basically, that they have no jurisdiction in a Texas courthouse or something. I didn't even include it in my report because I was like, I don't understand why this makes sense or not.
We knew some legal words, so we threw them all in there.
Well, that's basically, I read that and went, so law. So loophole law.
Jurisdiction.
Did you take the money and not give it back?
You can't ask providing us that, cowboy.
Goods.
Good for them.
Interesting.
Good for them for knowing some words.
All right. Enough of that.
Man, sorry to be a letdown. An actress says that she lost out on a job for shaking hands.
It's weird.
The headline's
is
weird
that a,
enough.
Is that a euphemism? Well, I guess we have to stay to
You're
find out.
To, I mean, that's up
All
to
right,
you.
I'll stay.
The headline's weird enough. I'll stay.
One of our favorite Nepo babies in Hollywood, Dakota Johnson, came out and said that she lost out on an acting role because during an audition, she went into the room, and this was a callback.
Okay.
She went into the audition room and went up to everybody in the room, shook their hands, introduced herself, asked how they were doing, and then went on, read her lines at the scene.
Okay.
Afterwards, she got a call from her people saying that there was extreme negative feedback for doing that.
Weird.
People called her the move of going up and shaking everybody's hand cocky. And pompous.
Really?
That was the reason she missed out on the role.
I've always been taught that's what you do as a professional, right?
Well, here's the thing. This is not a flex. I've been in a million audition rooms.
Sure.
Ooh.
Maybe not a million, but I've been in a lot. And I've been in callbacks. And usually they're very cold. Even if the casting director knows you and seen you before, they'll Sometimes then they'll call you by name and make you at least feel like a human being rather than just a piece of meat. But most time you go in, you say hello. They sometimes say hello. Sometimes they don't even look up. And then you just do your thing.
Gotcha.
But she's an established celebrity. I mean, she's an established star. And walking up and just going, hey, how's it going? How's it going?
That's my question. Was this when she was established or just coming into...
I think it was earlier in her career, but she wouldn't name what the project was, so we can't confirm or deny anything.
Sure. Okay.
All right. But I think she's doing just fine.
Yeah,
she's
she got through it, yeah.
Let's try to squeeze one more in.
Yeah, everybody... not a euphemism. Newest award show debuted last night.
Ooh, no.
Swipe.
All right, I'll stay. Parker?
Swipe.
God, you're such an old man, Parker.
Really? God, I'm sorry.
Grammy Award winner, rushed to the hospital.
Oh.
Swipe.
World's biggest pop star in hot water.
Ooh, Soup?
Stay.
Yeah, I like Soup. Stay.
I just want to know who you think of the world's hottest pop star is.
It's Taylor Swift, dummy.
Okay, just making sure.
You think because Jamie told the story yesterday during between breaks that I was going to take it off my report? No, it's our backup story today. Taylor Swift is being sued, this time by a Las Vegas performer. Maren Wade is suing Taylor for trademark infringement. She says she owns the rights to Confessions of a Showgirl, and she claims Taylor's album and merch are swallowing up a brand she spent over 12 years cultivating. Taylor's album was Life of a Showgirl, not to be confused with Confessions of a Showgirl.
And what about Showgirls the movie? Or what about Pam Anderson's movie, The Last Showgirl?
Right.
What about Who Says Showgirl? What about, and who is this woman suing that her brand
Maren.
Is?
Her name Maren is Wade. Maren.
Maren, sorry.
We have 10 seconds. That was Swipe or Stay.
729 Thanks, on Frank. The Pacific Always Media fun. Network.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. It is 7:35. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. And if you are listening in La Crosse on WLCX or Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR or even in Hayward on WBZH, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Remember, it is April Fool's Day, so be skeptical, even more skeptical than you normally are of everything that comes your way today, except for this. This is a true statement, and I know that's a red flag when anybody says that. That's when you go,
when you have to point it out.
Why is he saying that if it's not? But listen, let's be honest. Who doesn't love delicious maple syrup poured over some pancakes, waffles, French toast? If you're Buddy the Elf, you put it on spaghetti. Everybody loves fresh maple syrup. Real maple syrup has become a staple in Wisconsin, but there are fears that climate change could bring an end to it in the next generation, at least in the southern part of the state. So what can be done to slow that prediction? How does one make maple syrup? And can Jamie finally start her own sugar camp? Answer to all of those questions and more hopefully will come from our guest. We are joined now by Teresa Barone. She's from the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. Teresa, thank you for being here. This is music to Jamie's ears to have you with us.
I love maple syrup. I think it's really cool. I think the tapping process is neat, so I'm excited to learn more this morning.
Well, and we will. We will definitely learn more. But let's start with this before we even get to climate concerns. How much maple syrup is actually produced in Wisconsin, and where in the state does it come from predominantly?
Well, per NAST stats, last year Wisconsin made about 556,000 gallons of maple syrup valued at nearly $15 million. But if every producer that made maple syrup throughout the state reported to NAS that they made maple syrup, we'd be above and beyond.
Wow.
We actually beat out Maine in production last year. So now Wisconsin has become third in the nation in maple syrup production.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I had no idea. So what is, obviously there's economic impacts to maple syrup, but culturally and historically, what is Wisconsin's ties to the maple syrup industry?
Well, really, maple syrup, the industry has always been kind of family tradition. It's brought families together. So people from, generation to generation have continued that great process of making maple syrup. It started out, many years ago with indigenous people, and then people kind of followed on that tradition to take that sap from a maple tree and boil it down to maple syrup. You see a lot more small hobbyists coming in. People are tapping 1 to 2 trees in their yard. On average, a tap hole could give you about 10 gallons of sap, wow, hence make about a quart of syrup.
So. See, Jamie, see, all you need is a couple little trees.
I do.
To get things going. Wait, say that last part again, Teresa. How much to get 1 quart of syrup? That sounded like a lot of sap to make 1 quart of syrup.
To make 1 quart of syrup, of course, depending on your sugar content, but is about 10 gallons, wow, of sap.
Wow. Wow. And it comes, like, from what I've seen, and I've only seen some videos, I've never seen it, the sap comes out in little drips, right?
Yes,
so it's not like a faucet where you open it up and, oh, all the sap just comes flowing out and you'll get your 10 gallons in 5 minutes.
No, it slowly drips a lot. Depends on the weather. We need freezing nights above freezing during the day. It's crazy with this storm we had that week. I've never seen sap run so fast and continuous run after that. Once, wow, we had the storm on Sunday, Monday, by Wednesday, Thursday, our trees were constantly running. They usually shut off with a freeze-thaw cycle. They did not shut. They ran overnight for a day, which is crazy. We had pails running over and a nice, real constant drip.
We're talking with Teresa Barone. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, wismaple.org, if you want to check out some of the information they have. So let's start there with what you were saying, because we're hearing that the season for maple syrup is starting earlier than it has in years past. So what's happening exactly on the ground, and how different does it look now than it did even 10, 20 years ago, Teresa?
You know, it seems, what, of course, with the climate change, yes, it's starting earlier. Usually southern Wisconsin starts before northern Wisconsin. Southern Wisconsin, most of our producers were done about a week ago. They usually start tapping, you know, about 2 weeks. I'm from the Green Bay area before we start tapping. Basically, it just changed the way, you know, with everything has changed throughout everywhere.
So the focus of this, with the climate screwing things up for tapping season, is the southern part. If down the road the maple trees in the southern part of the state kind of fade away or get to, because correct me if I'm wrong, the trees have to be under a certain height. The bigger the trees get, the more the tree itself uses the sugar. So if those trees fade away, are there other kind of trees in the state that could be tapped and utilized for some sort of syrup?
You can tap birch, you can tap walnut, but you also can do a lot more replanting your trees. Okay. A tree takes about 25 years to grow before it can be tapped. It needs to be between 10 and 12 inches in diameter. So replanting tree growth, I think, will help, and cleaning your forest or cleaning your sugar bush also helps with that. So those trees aren't fighting against other trees. I can't foresee that it'll ever completely go away. I mean, it's something that continues. And more southern states are starting to tap. You know, you got Indiana, you got Kentucky, you got western states. Portland has a different kind of maple, and they started tapping out there called the big leaf maple. Each are producing a sap. And what happens as the warmer climate comes, or as it gets warm through the season, people just have to really cook that sap faster and really listen to Mother Nature, that when the buds start coming out, it's time for us to be done taking the sap from those trees so it can go into making the leaves, the tree. We're not hurting the trees. It's kind of like our veins in our body where we give blood,
yeah,
and it regenerates that, same as the sap on the maple trees.
I want to go there for just a second, because you mentioned the storms last week made the sap flow constantly. So for people who don't understand the process, what are you hoping for a good maple syrup season? What conditions are ideal?
Well, you hope maple season, there was a lot of frost in the ground. So we had ideal conditions. When I say ideal conditions, it'd be 20s at night, 35 to 40, more like 38 to 40, 42 during the day. And those are more of your ideal. what happened is we had a great week where we should have had SERP running, but the frost was so far in the ground, the sap didn't run. We had that warm weather. If we didn't have the frost in the ground where we had those 70 degree days, that would cause your trees to, of course, go into thinking it was spring in the budding. So when we got that second set of snow, it kind of insulated that ground. And then we had those warm temperatures, again, saving the season a little bit. So if it hits a period of a week of warm temperatures or even 80 high temperatures, it'll shut the trees off. In 2012, many producers throughout the state of Wisconsin had a three-day season. On average, a season is between 30 and 45 days.
So for people like Jamie who want to do this at home, and we're talking to Teresa Barone. She's from the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. Wismaple.org is their website. How many trees would you need to plant to get, and again, you said the trees took 20 years to grow before they were able to be tapped. How many trees do you need to get those 10 gallons of sap that you said will give me 1 quart of syrup? So how much land is Jamie going to have to buy to start Jamie's syrup farm, her sugar camp?
Honestly, you can tap your tree in your yard. You have a maple in your yard, you can tap that tree. One tree will give you that that 10 gallons of sap on an average year. So you see more and more people, if you go through many towns or anywhere you see bags on the trees, people are just tapping that one tap, boiling it down on a propane. Some people use a turkey fryer, hence no turkey oil could be used in it because it'll take on the taste of that. The bigger surface area, the faster your sap will cook down. The big thing is cooking it in something that will not take on a taste. Maple sap and maple syrup, anything you put that in takes on the taste of that container.
Wow.
So yes, one person and the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producer Association has an amazing beginner's book that we give for free that talks about getting us, you know, how to start up from, you know, one tap to 10 taps.
Interesting.
So if like now it's almost too late, right? Even if, because the tapping season's about over, but if you start planning, you could theoretically, Jamie, you could do this next year. You could tap one of your trees and just have it. How long a process does it take then to boil it down, Teresa?
Depends on the sugar content. I can't say how long, 10, 12 hours, depends how your surface area is. It can take 24 hours. Usually, so like a lawn tree or a tree not fighting other trees, and if it's a sugar maple, will have higher sugar content. So it'll take less sap to boil down. You probably hear a lot, 40 to 1, 40 gallons to a gallon of syrup. Yeah, the higher the sugar content, the less sap you need to boil that down into syrup.
Interesting. We've got one of our listeners chiming in saying that a sister of hers has land in northern Minnesota, and a neighbor in that area taps her trees, does all the work, and then pays her a dozen quarts of syrup. So you're right. Anybody could do this with even just a little amount of tree and land. Now, you personally, Teresa, you and your husband have been doing this since the 1990s. You were Maple Producer of the Year in 2024. So how is your operation personally changed over time from when you first started to what you do today?
So we started when I was little. We had a few taps. We cooked out in the woods on a open pan. So in a few, 3 years ago, we bought a new evaporator, a little more efficient. We're all on wood fired. This year we put in an RO, which has helped with efficiency, something new to us. We have force vacuum systems. We use a solar vacuum system, electric vacuum system. And then we also have a gravity vacuum system. So we have three vacuum systems. So our little sugar bush of 1,200 taps has grown to about 2,000. We buy sap from other neighbors. We work a lot around with our neighbors. And we also really value education. So we bring in lots of tours, 4-H's, school groups. We do a big open house to help educate people about maple.
We've got
that sounds great. Teresa Barone is with the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. If you want to get in on those tours, if you want to get a beginner book, if you want any information about all things maple syrup, wismaple.org is the website. Teresa, this was fascinating. I could talk to you about the process all day. Thank you so much for being here. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you guys for having me. I
Thank
appreciate
you. Have
it.
A great day.
You too.
It's so strange. Oh, yeah.
No.
We got to go. Yeah, we got to go.
Are you going to give us a wrap-up pretty quick?
I was just going to say, when you taste real maple syrup over the, you know, Mrs. Butterworth.
Oh, yeah.
It's so
no
different
comparison.
And so good.
No comparison.
All right, we're going to talk a little sporty sports after this.
We are. 7:48 right now on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 7:52 right now, and I'm so excited, Brian, that we got to learn a little about maple syrup and the art of maple syrup, maple syruping. Is that what we call it? I don't know, but that's what I'm saying this morning.
Mapling, I think, is what Teresa called it.
Is that what she called it? Okay. I was just so excited to talk to somebody who actually does it on a daily basis, because
Know you can do it on just the tree in your yard, are you going to try it next year?
Well, we don't have any good trees. I'd have to go, find an actual tree. We have all the little saplings, you know, that probably aren't maple. I don't know, whatever they decided to plant in our little suburb. But wismaple.org, again, is that website if you want to know more about the act of mapling, or you want to get that beginner book. I know John over on our YouTube feed had asked if there was some sort of link to access that, but wismaple.org, one more time, to check that out and get more information if you want to try it on your own. I'd love to know if people do it.
I wish I had heard that interview, Jamie. Is there any way I can hear that interview
if
I missed it?
You can. All you have to do is go to civicmedia.us, click on the show tab at the top of the page, and you'll be able to listen to all of the past episodes of Daybreak over there. So make sure you do that and check it out. They're there in perpetuity, we'll say.
Oh, well, as long as they're in perpetuity,
they are.
I'm not going to worry that I'll miss it. I can pick it up anytime I want.
Absolutely.
This is, Frank, our executive producer, senior producer, whatever kind of, he's the big producer and Parker's
the big cheese,
just in stature, not in importance. Parker, don't worry, just in stature. He used to work for sports stations, so this is Frank was very excited about this. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame has announced this year's class, and there is a Wisconsin connection because Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, has been inducted this year. So will Candace Parker, Ella Deladon, and Amari Stoudemire. They are among this year's class of inductees. So Frank asked this question, and I will ask it for him. Which Wisconsin athlete or coach deserves to be selected to the Hall of Fame next?
Well, obviously, we're going off Doc Rivers' record, not this year.
I was going to say, his time not with the Bucks.
Okay, there we go. His current record.
He has a storied career, Doc Rivers.
He does. His current record with the Bucks all time is 96-99 as the head coach. So not exactly great. But not I have great. To ask the two of you. So who would you put in this Hall of Fame for an athlete, a coach, or any of that?
I don't know.
This is
a Frank and Parker thing.
We're facilitating.
I'm sure every athlete, every pro athlete from Wisconsin, whether it's baseball, football, or basketball, I know, and I'm guessing they're already in the Hall of Fame.
Probably.
I know the headliners.
Right,
I know
Parker,
the big boys.
You're the sports guy.
You've got some younger ones though that are not quite like eligible for the Hall of Fame. I think that's where I'm going to be living in this conversation. I think J.J. Watt. I'm not 100% sure
him
that
on
he's
a list.
Old enough
okay.
yet
yeah.
to be
sure.
in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton. Would you put him in there at all?
Maybe
going into basketball, looking
could.
At that.
I'm not
as
a
an
huge
athlete.
Basketball guy, but I could definitely see that for sure. Yes.
All right. I mean, he's an Oshkosh guy. He doesn't play for the Bucks.
I get it, but
you know he's a guy
Wisconsin
from Oshkosh. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I think it could be
a Wisconsin resident.
You sort of open a can of worms if you want to get into Ryan Braun. Definitely a
lot
Hall
of roids
fame,
there, brother.
A lot of roids there. Yeah.
Can I let the roids go into the hall?
Hall of Fame career, but
sure.
Shady.
I'm going to give a hot
take.
More
like a can of PEDs, am I right, Parker?
Oh, good. Thank goodness you jumped in on your topic. Like, this is your thing, Frank. Where are you?
I'm going to give a hot take.
Took your hat off.
I'm going to give a hot take on this one.
Ooh, a hot take.
If you're a Packers fan, you'll understand where I'm going with this. I'm going to say Daniel Whelan, because I'm going for the Mount Rushmore. Only because if you've ever watched the Packers special team, he might be the only one who's practiced the art of sports ball on the special teams, which has been awful. And he can actually flip a field and do his job well. And that's the only reason I'd put him in there. Not because, you know, he's got some long storied career with the Packers. But if you've watched the last couple of years, that's the most storied special teamers the Packers have ever had at this point.
This is a very good point. Yeah, this is a very good point. Is Tony Romo in the Hall of Fame yet?
Is Romo eligible yet? He should be.
I'm sure he's eligible, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Do you think Tony Romo's a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I didn't say he was a Hall of Fame caliber.
I mean, he could be.
No, but he's not.
He could be.
He's not.
I don't know, Frank. Ooh.
What did he win? Nothing.
You know?
You're
onto something
Jessica
here.
Jessica Simpson's love and affection for a while. That's what he won.
Here's the question I pose, and I think this is a great way to look at Hall of Fames for any sport or anything in general. Can you tell the story of the game without saying that person in there? Let me tell you, I can talk all football without saying Tony Romo's name once.
This Fair is true. Enough.
Let me ask you, as a Packer fan, is Jordy Nelson a Hall of Fame caliber talent?
I don't know. I've thought about this before.
He was a good wide receiver because Aaron Rodgers was a good quarterback, and that's happened multiple times with Packers receivers, right?
Yeah.
They get to another team, they're not as great. So does that make him Hall of Fame caliber, or Aaron Rodgers who could throw a great rainbow?
Because you do have a little bit of a sample size when we went to the Raiders after.
It wasn't great.
Too, so,
it wasn't great. James Jones is another perfect example. He bounced around, came back to basically help save a season after Jordy Nelson, speaking of, tore his ACL. And he had a better season there, but his age was catching up with him too at that point. But I don't know if you put any Packers receivers in that category.
So is it safe to say right now that the next person that played for a Wisconsin team to get into the NFL or into the Hall of Fame will be Aaron Rodgers?
It's very safe to do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be a first or second ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, for sure. I think he has to be.
Yeah.
If people can take all of the delusion out of the ballot and just base it off his career.
Yeah.
They have to present him his jacket in the dark, though. That's going to be weird.
That's true. That's
ayahuasca.
True. His return back to Lambeau when they do the big Brett Favre welcome back thing will be in the bowl, lights off.
I hope it's a long time from now.
They'll let him carry an American flag.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, that would be hilarious.
God, I hope his knee holds
All
up.
Right. When we come back, it's more headlines from the Middle East and more S You Need to Know. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Mark.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.